Husker Doc Talk Podcast 2017, Episode 1. Happy summer to you. It is a summer edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. I'm Travis Justice. We are back in the studio, and as always, I'm with the one, the only, the legend, Dr. Rob Zadiska. Here's the deal when it comes to the Husker Doc Talk Podcast. We really don't know when we should record. I know there's people that like us to do it weekly, probably people that want us to do it daily. But when it comes to when the season's over and the summers, we have families, we have lives, and well, we have things to do. But we sent out a little teaser tweet the other day, Rob, on Twitter, and you can follow us on Twitter at Doc Talk Sports. And we just asked, hey, who's ready for us to get back in the studio? And were you kind of surprised that the overwhelming response was, get your ass back in the studio now?
Absolutely not. I got people harping me at work. I got a cousin who lives in Columbus, Ohio. He's like the only Husker fan
in Columbus?
In Columbus. And he's actually an Ohio State grad. He's been harping on me for 2 months to get our butts in gear.
You know, we haven't done one since the bowl game. I think we meant to do one for recruiting. Time got away from us. We meant to do one for the spring game. Time got away from us. And finally,
well, that Nick Gates getting his butt kicked in the bowl game left such a sour taste in my mouth. I wanted to like not think about
it. You need to let that go. You need to let that go. It's time to let it go. It's a new season. It's a fresh start.
That is true. And the defensive end from Tennessee was a first round draft pick who did break Reggie White's sack record at Tennessee. So maybe I shouldn't harp on the guy.
But there's been so much to happen really since the end of the season to now, from the hiring of a new defensive coordinator to the Keyshawn Johnson Jr. situation,
new special teams coach,
to the
defensive backs coach,
Brian Ferentz backhanded slap from Iowa City, talking about the pipeline.
Okay, he needs to just shut his pie hole there.
But you know what? You know what I liked about it? And this is the Iowa guy coming out of me. At least it's sparking some kind of life into that rivalry. I mean, it just can't be the Ivy Heroes Trophy. It's got to have a little oomph to it, doesn't it?
It does. And actually, I guess, you know, now that you look at it from that perspective, which I can't say I really had. Usually I've sat here for the last 3 months going, okay, for God's sakes, Kirk needs to like tell his son to just like shut up and like coach.
But
it does help. I like it.
Yes.
And when you put it that way, I kind of like the aspect of it. Because
it's not a rivalry that was built on just anger like Colorado was, and it's not like what Oklahoma was, but there needs to be some kind of smack talk back and forth, or it just gets boring.
I will give it that. And I'll also give it the fact that Nebraska, God, we just don't. There's some diehards who aren't going to like hearing this. Nebraska's never had a true rivalry. Now, I know everybody likes the whole Oklahoma thing, but let's be honest about it. A, we're going back to the fact that Bud Wilkinson kicked Nebraska's butt for all but like two seasons back in the 1950s. Barry Switzer did it for most of the 1970s, all save for like 1978. In a good portion of the 1980s, but I don't think even Oklahoma did not look at Nebraska.
No, that was Texas.
Yeah, as a big rival. Their rivals were Texas and Bedlam, and Nebraska was like a distant third behind those two. They respected Nebraska. They had strong feelings about that Nebraska game. But it wasn't like the classic rivalry. Nebraska hasn't had one, and they just haven't, and I think they're struggling to still find one.
I want to start off, but I want to get
hold
to...
Hold on a second.
Okay.
I'm going to pop open my Infusion Brewing Company South Pacific IPA.
Ooh, and it's a South Pacific Pineapple IPA, because when Rob and I get into the studio, it's a must that we drink beer. And today we went out and got a growler of Olson's Amber Ale from the Infusion Brewing Company, and we also bought 2 6-packs. We got the Radial IPA and the South Pacific Pineapple IPA.
That's pretty good. I just took a swig right there.
And
that's a good. It's not overwhelming. It's just like a hint of pineapple, but that's a tasty beer.
And the reason we're drinking Infusion beer, which is brewed in Omaha, Nebraska.
Because it's tasty.
Because it's tasty. And also, the Infusion Brewing Tap Room is their new tap room and the new brewery on 6271 South 18th Street will be the home of Boo Brew 4. Now you're going, what is Boo Brew 4? Well, it is a fundraiser for Scareaway Cancer. Scareaway Cancer is a local nonprofit organization that is all volunteer run, and it does one thing. It gives money directly to patients, families, and programs. So when they call, there's no really middleman. They say, hey, we need help to pay our electric bill. Guess what? We're there for the family to pay the electric bill. Hey, we want to go on a trip. You know, we don't want to wait for other entities to be able to do this. Okay, we'll make that happen. Hey, my car broke down. And you'd be surprised, Rob, and you worked at the med center, how many people drive from out of town for treatment in Omaha, and they don't have the money and the resources to make that happen.
Oh, it's a huge regional medical center and draws people in from states away.
So Scareaway Cancer, which has been around coming up on 7 years now, and I'm a member of Scareaway Cancer. I volunteer for Scareaway Cancer. There's two really main events they have every year. Boo Brew, which is nothing more than drink beer, fight cancer. All we want you to do is show up and drink beer. And here's what it is.
And it's going to be good beer.
And here's what it is. You pay $10. You get a free, it's not free because you're paying for it. You get a collector's pint glass. And then you get your first beer for $10. And then refills are $5 after that. Now, and you know, if you go to any brewery, a regular beer is going to cost you $5 for 16 ounces. It's coming up on July 13th from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock at the Infusion Brewing Tap Room at 6271 South 118th Street. There's going to be a tent. There's going to be all sorts of good stuff. You can go through the brewery. And all it is, we get together and we drink beer. Now, Rob, you've always been out of town for this. Are you going to be in town on the 13th? Can we get you and Jen to come out to Boo Brew? I'm twisting your arm.
There is what I would like to say, a high likelihood I will be there.
That's what I like to hear. That's all I ask. And if you want more information on Boo Brew 4, go to scareawaycancer.org. That's scareawaycancer.org. Have all the information right there. If you can't make it, we take online donations, but we can't thank the Infusion Brewing Company enough. And that's why Rob and I are drinking the Infusion Brewing Company beer today. And we're going to hopefully not be slurring our words.
Well, that in the fact is pretty damn good beer.
By the end
Infusion
of this podcast.
Does excellent, excellent
and,
beer.
And we were just up in the bar in Benson because that's where we went. They have two locations. They've got the tap room and brewery on 118th Street, but they also have their first location, which is on the main drag on Maple in Benson. And it's a relaxed atmosphere. It's got a great place to go just sit back down and relax and drink really good beer. And, you know, maybe crossing our fingers, hoping that maybe during the season, Infusion might want to join us, and we could be drinking Infusion Brewing beer all year long. Now, I'm doing a little arm twisting there for a sponsorship.
Only a little bit.
Yeah, but, you know, it's good to have the Remington Trophy back on board again for another year. Dave's been a real big supporter of this podcast. It was his idea.
Huge supporter.
And we can't thank the Remington Trophy enough. And, of course, the Remington Trophy watch list will be coming out pretty soon. All year long we'll
be
doing...
Have they set a date yet for the trophy presentation?
Well, the trophy presentation itself will be in Lincoln in early January, but they give the trophy out, of course, at the Home Depot College Football Awards. But I have not asked Dave yet if the actual date has been set. Of course, we'll mention the Remington Trophy presentation a lot during this podcast throughout the season. And, of course, don't forget the Remington Trophy presentation and the Remington Trophy supports the Boomer Esiason Foundation, which helps fight cystic fibrosis. Also want to thank Husker Hounds for coming back on this year. I've talked to Scotty. He asked a couple things. I hope you won't have a problem with this. And Monday is your free night, but he wants us to do like two podcasts at his locations. And I said, Scott, we'll go down there and record. That's not a problem. If you want us to hang out,
I love this shop.
I know. So, and you live close to the one on 84th Street. So
I do. That's kind of my go-to for, well, it's kind of weird because I go there for Husker clothes. So
yeah.
Pretty much any shirts, t-shirts, golf shirts, stuff like that, which it's almost near mind-blowing the stuff that he's got from a variety standpoint. But it's a great shop. But like the trophy cases, like those clear plastic,
yes,
like the football or helmet trophy cases, I've got three or four of them. All of them from Scott. So he stocks, I mean, it's a wide array of stuff, but he's got a lot of memorabilia in his shops. And if you're a Husker fan, a lot of it's just fun stuff to go in and just take a look at.
You know, last year for Scare Away Cancer, we had Mike Riley sign an authentic helmet, and it had the 27 sticker on it, had everything. The Nebraska was great to have us sign that. But I got the helmet, purchased it, by the way, and the little helmet case from Scott, which was, you know, it's hard to find an authentic helmet.
Oh, a lot of stuff. And he's been doing this a long time. And I hate calling it a hookup, but he's got a very good relationship with the university. So kind of all of the authentic license stuff, the actual autographs, things like that. He does very good in terms of getting that stuff, getting it in a shop, and it's all stuff that the university's approved. But if you want the authentic stuff, like you said, with the helmets, things like that, he's always got it. He's got, every year they do the special uniform. I'm blanking on what they call it.
I know what you're talking. Well, yeah. Adidas comes together with its.
They do it for one game a year. I'm
the alternative uniform.
Thank you. There we go. The alternative uniform. He's kind of your pipeline for alternative uniforms, the jerseys, the helmets, stuff like that. He always has all of that in his shops, the little mini helmets. He's got all of those for when they come out with the alternative uniform. So if you're into collecting that stuff, it's a great place to just go look around.
So what's going to happen with the podcast? Well, I'd like to say that Rob and I are going to get back in the studio every single week from here on out. We are recording this in the first week of July. Here's what's going to happen. We are not going to get in the studio full time. We'll start weekly in the first week of August. So that will take us through fall camp right up through the season. So we'll start weekly in the first week of August. So this is just kind of a little teaser, a little preview, kind of bring you up to date on what we've been doing this summer, give you some of our thoughts about what's been going on, but you can really count on us in studio starting the first week of August and then moving through the season. It'd be interesting, Rob, because I'm going to Italy in October. So we'll have
what?
To.
You?
Yes.
Going to Italy?
Can you believe that? TotalTuscany.com, by the way. get a little
nice
plug. Get a plug in on my own podcast. So we're going to be doing Skype podcasts from Italy.
I did Skype from Puerto Rico
before
with you for a podcast.
So we can make that happen. It's not going to be that difficult. Hopefully I have good Wi-Fi in Tuscany and we can make that happen. So that's what's going to happen. We'll start recording on a full-time basis or full-time weekly basis the first week of August. The story I wanted to tell you that I thought was interesting, and we'll get to this year's Huskers and the season coming up and the things that have happened. But Dr. Tom Osborn was just in Des Moines in central Iowa. And
I didn't think Coach Osborn had ever been to Iowa.
Well,
except to play the Cyclones.
But it's for, by the way, the Remington Trophy spring watch list was announced May 22nd. So sorry, Dave, I didn't read when the spring watch list came out, but it's out there. Nebraska doesn't have anybody on the Remington Trophy watch list.
What?
James Daniels from Nebraska, or from Iowa, rather, is on the watch
list. Which he's actually pretty damn solid offensive lineman.
But no Nebraska player on the Remington Trophy watch list. But
Dylan Utter's not on there again.
So
of course he graduated.
I digressed, but they launched teammates in central Iowa. They've launched teammates.
Okay.
So we know how close teammates is to Tom Osborne's heart. He was on the radio station that I'm on, 1460 KXNO, on the afternoon show. And he did a really good interview with my friends, Ross Peterson and Chris Williams. They were shocked, and they loved the interview. They loved Dr. Tom. They were shocked by the negative reaction from fans of how many people in central Iowa hated Tom Osborn. And
really?
And that kind of threw me back, too, because it's no secret. We're full disclosure. Everybody knows that I host the Iowa Hawkeye Call-In Show on WHO.
I'm sure they're not like big Nebraska fans, I totally buy into that.
But everybody also knows that I've covered Nebraska, and they know I do this podcast with you. And I went on the show.
Are they still pissed about that whole Roger Craig thing, yanking him out of Davenport?
I think it was more Iowa State fan than it was Iowa fan. That's what really threw me off. It wasn't Iowa fan as much as it was Iowa State fan. That's what I could kind of get through. But believe it or not, so I had to go on my own radio station in central Iowa and talk about Dr. Tom and defend him. And I defended him passionately because I don't think people understand Dr. Tom. All they saw, and let's not forget, when Lawrence Phillips came back after the suspension, it was against Iowa State. So I think they still look at the Lawrence Phillips situation as a guy who would win at all cost. And they look at Christian Peter. They look at Jason Peter.
Okay, you had...
I know.
You had Amon Green. You didn't need Lawrence.
They had you. That wasn't 95, but I mean, they had guys with character like you. They had Zach Wieger, Brendan Stye. I mean, Tommy's a good character.
Which
guy.
All of those issues you're discussing when you're talking about Christian and Lawrence, I mean, they were highly, highly, it's a lot more complicated than
it is.
What people would like to think.
Yes.
People will tell you all the time, no, it's simple. He did something wrong. He's gone. It's a lot more complicated than that. Anyway, I'm surprised about that. I got to be honest with you. I would have thought that. It's not like Iowa State never beat us. They did in '92. I think they did.
Hold on. Oh, there goes Marv Seiler right by Rob Zadiskin.
He's gained about 25 pounds. Still can time his 40-yard dash with a goddamn calendar, but oh my
God, this pineapple IPA from Infusion Brewing.
That's not a bad beer.
It's really good.
It almost makes me want to go out and mow the lawn just so I can drink another one.
Now, at Scareway Cancer, we're going to have four beers on tap. We're going to have the Vanilla Bean Blonde. We're going to have the...
Which is kind of like your... That's
their number one seller.
Everybody knows that and from Infusion.
We're going to have the Olson's Amber Ale, which you've already had a glass of that. We're going to have the Radial IPA, which we have upstairs.
That's another kind of their... standby. Yes.
And we're going to have the Helles. And don't forget, you know, we talked about the Remington Trophy presentation. Again, Dave, I apologize. I didn't look at the website before we went started recording. That's the fun of a podcast.
You know, you could just say we started drinking beer first and then started recording.
True. January 13th, 2018.
Okay, so
got the date set.
I'm putting it on my calendar.
The watch list is out. And the date is set. For complete event and trophy information, go to RemingtonTrophy.com. But yeah, it was an interesting story about Dr. Tom.
You said January 13th?
January 13th, Rococo Theater. And interesting story about Dr. Tom. I just thought I'd pass it along. I found it interesting and kind of confusing because I don't get where people are coming from. You know why they don't like him, Rob? At the end of the day.
Tell me why.
Because he won. Show me somebody outside of Alabama that likes Nick Saban. Show me somebody outside of California that likes Pete Carroll. Show me somebody outside of Oklahoma at the time that liked Barry Switzer. Show me somebody outside of Miami that liked Jimmy Johnson.
I love Barry Switzer.
But you know what I'm talking about. People don't like winners.
People like winners. I think what they don't like is the constant domination. I'd be the first guy to tell you, I was all in for Clemson this last year in the national title game, 100%. Now, part of it is after a while, you kind of get old of seeing the SEC win title after title after title. At the same time, too, I got a good buddy he and his family are Clemson people, and so that was something that I was kind of rooting for him because I've kind of always hung with it's something with one of my buddies. I always hang with them in that regard. And so, but I get what you mean when you see a team that dominates something for an extended period of time. And you look at Saban, ever since he hit the door in Alabama, every year, it's not like he's in the discussion like, well, we got to include Alabama as a potential top five.
No, the discussion starts with Alabama.
No, it starts with them. I mean, when you look at most preseason rankings right now, when you look at Athlon Sporting News, College Football News, Lindy's, whatever, everybody's got Alabama going in as the number one team right now. Ohio State, a couple people have Ohio State. And then there's a pretty good drop-off after that. But most people are looking at Alabama. And you know what? It's Nick Saban and it's Urban Meyer. You know, Urban Meyer could go set up shop at pick a halfway decent school. Just give me a name.
Right now,
not great, but a decent school for football.
Oregon.
If Urban Meyer went to Oregon with Phil Knight's budget, that's almost scary now that I think about it. I'd give Urban 2 years, and he would be fully back in the full swing of national title discussion year in and year out.
So we encourage you to visit the website HuskerMax.com. HuskerMax has been so gracious to this podcast over the years for putting it on its quick links. They've got, you know, Adam Carriker does some really good stuff for HuskerMax and his Carriker Chronicles. It's good stuff.
It really is. Adam does a great job with
so
that.
So when you want daily Husker news, go to HuskerMax.com. And on the forum, and this went up on June 30th, Tad Stryker wrote a nice, long kind of get people talking type stuff. And I don't know if I agree with him. And the title is, How Long Will Husker Nation Continue to Be a House Divided?
See, I just like the fact that I think Ted Stryker from Airplane.
Tad. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I had to drop the airplane reference.
Do you like gladiator games?
Have you spent much time in a gymnasium?
So he writes this article about...
Hey, Travis.
Yes? Are we drunk already?
Have you ever stood next
Holy
to a grown
shit,
man?
Shit, look at that head on that beer.
Oh, it's so good.
That is the Olson's Amber
this
Ale.
This is Olson's Amber Ale that we're discussing right now from
Infusion Brewing. So he writes this, and it's probably 800 to 900 words on the house divided. Now, you and I have been around a long time, and we've been through good times, bad times, national championship times, losing record times.
Well, I've only... I witnessed them from afar.
Why? Here's the deal. Do you think Nebraska's house is divided? Because I don't.
Well, hold on. Now, are we talking internally or are we talking...
Fan bases.
Fan base.
Internally, no.
Internally, I might argue with you.
Really?
Here's the thing. I think from talking, there's a couple of former players, and when I say former players, within the last 2 to 3 years, who I know pretty well, there was an incredibly strong pro-Pelini presence.
Okay.
And I think there was kind of a division there. There was a group of guys that when Pelini got fired, who are exceedingly, exceedingly angry about the fact that Pelini got let go. At the same time, I think there was another group of players who were like, you know what, screw that guy. Let's get the next guy in here and move on. And you know, you go back to when Pelini had the infamous meeting off campus and a player recorded it and released that
yes.
recording of the meeting to the public. Well, obviously, the guy who recorded that was not exactly a Pelini fan. At the same time, though, and I think it kind of probably ended with last year's graduating class, you had a big group of a very specific group of guys, probably mostly concentrated on defense, who are very pro Pelini.
Now, here's a paragraph from Tad Stryker's column on HuskerMax.com.
See, I think the fan base, it's the opposite. I think most fans are pretty
here's the deal.
Pro-Riley.
But you're always going to have fans. The problem with Husker fans, and don't take this the wrong way, but you've been around it.
They want it to be 1995.
And it's not going to be that
annually.
Way. Yes, annually. And it's not there. But here's a paragraph from Tad Stryker's column. Riley's staunchest opponents seem to fear that with Tanner Lee or Patrick O'Brien at quarterback, he'll turn into Bill Callahan 2.0 and pass the ball more than he runs it. Riley's talked a lot about balance, which brings visions of 50-50 offense to mind. That's faulty vision because he also said he wants to become the third best rushing team in the Big Ten. It's hard to imagine the Huskers accomplishing that feat without averaging at least 40 running plays and 200 yards rushing per game.
Well, they'll need an offensive line to do it, too.
Now, listen, I was Bill Callahan's biggest critic, and I was also Steve Peterson's biggest critic. Looking back, Bill Callahan 2.0 offensively is not a bad deal. Bill Callahan 2.0 defensively is a bad deal.
Bill Callahan's biggest problem was the fact that he maintained a un-Riley-like degree of loyalty
yes.
to Kevin Cosgrove.
Yes. And that brings us into making changes.
I'll say that. It's kind of a double-edged sword here because, one, he needed to dump Cosgrove, which I remember
after year one.
He did. And I remember talking to I remember talking to Barrett Root about this.
He's been out long enough. You can talk.
We had Barrett on the show when we were still doing the TV thing.
That's right.
We had Barrett on, and I was asking.
Back when the show was still worth a shit.
It was. And I was asking. Okay, it hasn't been worth a shit since you and I left. So
we know that.
So anyway, since Barrett made a good point, and he said to that day at that time, which he was still with Tampa Bay, he said he would still talk with Pelini on a weekly basis, which he had Pelini as a defensive coordinator and linebackers coach his junior year at Nebraska.
Frank's last year. And Pelini's only year with Frank, right?
Correct.
Yes.
And he said in terms of running a defense, recognizing offenses, how to run a linebacker core, he said he would still talk to Pelini on a weekly basis while playing for Tampa Bay. And I think that I thought that spoke very highly of Pelini and his mind as a defensive coach. He told me, and I'm throwing people under the bus. I'm putting names out there. I apologize.
Keep drinking, buddy. I love it. Keep drinking.
I did not ask Barrett for permission to
keep
say this.
Keep drinking.
To the Rude family, Tom Hundown, I apologize. He said Kevin Cosgrove was, he said, one of the greatest human beings he's ever met. He said he's a great person, wonderful family guy. He said, just can't coach.
You know what Hank Azaria would say, known as Brock Meyer? He would say this.
That means that we are dragging a bear. Dragging a bear, everybody.
By the way, if you
love it. You're putting the sound bites in.
You and I are past this.
Tinder rocks.
Yeah, we know, but we're not on Tinder.
Oh, dear God. Maybe I need to ask her about this. I had to have my wife explain to me what swipe left meant.
Well, here's
I had no idea. Well, anyway.
This is what Tinder does.
But Tinder makes it simple. No confusion, no misguided weddings. Now I just bone and go.
You put bone and go on the podcast.
That's right.
Okay, anyway. Here's my point, though. You had a head coach. You hung on to his defensive coaches, and I think that was probably the bigger Achilles heel that Callahan had. At the same time, too, I remember the Cotton Bowl game against Auburn. Nebraska was just gashing Auburn left and right with running plays the entire first half. The entire second half, Bill Callahan pulled the play-calling duties out of the press box. Jay Norvell was screaming into a microphone,
because you've been drinking.
The microphone. Jay Norvell was screaming into the microphone, run the goddamn ball to Callahan from the press box the whole second half as Callahan tried to turn into Steve Spurrier and air it out. Auburn shut down the passing game. They couldn't stop Nebraska's run game because their defensive line averaged like 248 pounds a man. They couldn't stop Nebraska's running game, but Nebraska put the ball up in the air, had something like 17 three and outs the second half. Auburn came back and won by a field goal.
I remember that game because, A, Greta, I was supposed to leave for Dallas. My wife's water broke. We went and had Greta. I left my wife in the hospital to fly to Dallas to be part of the Cotton Bowl. That's how devoted I was to Nebraska football.
You?
Yes, me.
Are a horrible husband.
That was kid number four. We'd been through that a lot. She had the support group.
Dude.
I know. Husker football came first.
Dude, I delivered two out of my three kids.
You're a better man than me. Well, you talked about that loyalty because Mike Riley is not a loyal guy. He's loyal to a point, but when change needed to be made, we saw it in the offseason.
He's also a coach that looks at the situation, and I think I understand.
He understands he has to win.
But at the same time, too, at the end of the day, you got to get the job done.
Here's what I like, Rob, is my biggest criticism of Mike Riley when he came on board is that he brought everybody with him. Because you got average results at Oregon State. If you bring the same thing, you're going to get average results at Nebraska. One thing that's impressed me, he's reacted quickly, he's reacted decisively, and let's be honest, Nebraska's paying a defensive coordinator, Bobby Diaco, who I love as a coach, A, because he's an Iowa guy, but he's a high-energy guy, and they're paying him $1 million because that demands results. You've got to produce results.
Which, yeah, now we're moving into the next topic.
Yes.
New defensive coaches. So they got rid of Hank Hughes the year prior, brought in Perella. I think Perella, from a work ethic standpoint, I think that's part of the reason they had, four guys leave. Malik Collins, Vincent Valentine went pro. Now, those guys have done great in the NFL. I don't fault them at all. Gray McMullen, I think Greg McMullen looked at the situation and went, holy crap, I'm going to have to work my ass off under this Perella dude. I am out of here. And I think Kevin Williams did the same thing, transferred to Michigan State because I think he wanted an easier path than playing under Perella. Perella's a high-energy guy. He is a hell of a recruiter, but he has high, high demands, and he's got very high expectations. And I don't think a couple of those guys could handle that level of expectation. But I think Riley did the same thing then. When you look at on the special teams coaching standpoint, which brought in Scott Booker as a consultant, who's now the defensive backs coach, but then brought in Diaco, I didn't think that move would happen. I did not think he would fire Mark Banker. Those guys have been together for, I'm going to be wrong here, I thought it was like 30 years.
It's a great move. It's a strong move. It's decisive.
It is. I knew nothing about Diaco until he came on board, other than he was the Notre Dame guy. And he had Manti Te'o, who catfish. But he had great – I'm not a Notre Dame
Tinder
guy.
Tinder rocks.
Dear God. And Manti, he never got any of those. I'm not a Notre Dame guy. That being said, God, they had some good teams when Diaco was there. Brian Kelly and Diaco were a good combination. Moment Diaco left Notre Dame tanked. And they're still putting up numbers offensively. I looked at statistically, it's insane the offensive numbers that they've put up the last 2-3 years since Diaco left. It's not like offensively they've fallen off the planet. They're still putting up numbers. They can't stop anybody. They're averaging over the last 3 years, their offense is averaging something obscene. It's like 28.7 points per game, which is a monstrous average. And they're getting outscored by 2 touchdowns week in and week out. That's all on the defense. And it's because Diaco left. So I think Diaco's an excellent, excellent defensive coordinator. I'm excited to see what he does.
He's a high-energy guy. He's an Iowa guy. I know that's going to be a negative to some people, but I don't think he was given enough time at UConn. I think he had a lot of passion at UConn. I think he went – you know, some guys would put themselves in good situations to succeed.
That was a horrible situation.
Yes, it was a bad move. It was a bad move by Bobby Diaco. And what I mean by that is that UConn is going to be a tough place to win no matter what. It's not going to be an easy place to play, and it's not going to be an easy place to recruit.
It is a horrible place. I have been to the state of Connecticut.
I don't think
It's brutal. You think Nebraska's hard to recruit to? Take Nebraska and make it colder.
So what he did was he brought on Bobby Elliott, who another former Iowa guy, but Bobby Elliott has now stepped aside to become a consultant based on health reasons. I don't think that, because he hasn't had a full season, and when he did it, I don't think that's going to have a huge effect at all. And I hope
Elliott coming in and then Elliott going back out.
Yeah.
I don't think it will, and I think you've got, like I said, I'd mentioned earlier, Scott Booker, who is a special teams consultant, who's kind of going to, as of now, Booker's been the guy that they're moving into sort of that on-the-field defensive backs coach. I think the fact that you've got enough guys, Diaco specifically, still in the picture helping out. He's been there a year. So Booker's already been there for a season, so people know him. And Elliott said he's going to stay on as a consultant.
Yeah.
He said he just can't be he said from a health standpoint, from a treatment
standpoint. That dude has fought cancer so long. The fact that he's still alive, and he's an inspiration. But, well, I mean, if you do your homework on Elliott, his dad's a former athletic director.
And he's a guy who the cancer's been the one thing that has probably kept him from being a full-time defensive coordinator.
Yep.
And potentially a head coach over the years. I mean, the guy's got a resume that's absolutely astounding. If you read Bob Elliott's resume, you wonder, how is this guy, well, quite frankly, not the head coach at Iowa.
All right, I just poured me a big old pint of Olson's Amber Ale.
That's a good-looking pint right now.
That means that we are drinking a beer! Drink a beer, everybody!
We're going to hear that
a lot
of times this year. I think Elliott's a great coach. The guy staying on is, I mean, he's planning on staying on as a consultant for the season. And so I think that says a lot about his dedication to both Diaco, who played for him, coached under him. So it's not like Elliott's going anywhere. I think he's an excellent, excellent coach. The guy's got a track record and a resume that just won't end. He's still staying on as a consultant, and so I think that does stabilize things quite a bit from that defensive back standpoint and for the defense as a whole. But I think they're moving in the right direction. You look at Mark Banker. God, I tried to like the guy. I really did. I've heard wonderful things about him as a person.
But being a nice guy doesn't mean you're a great coach.
It doesn't, and I think he did. There's a number of things he did very well. His first year in Lincoln, Nebraska had, people forget about this, but Nebraska had one of the better run defenses in the country. Nobody ran on Nebraska in 2015. Now, again, you look at some of the personnel they had when you got Malik Collins and Vincent Valentine at those two interior spots. That anchored a lot. Those two guys were exceptional football players, and both of them were top 3-round draft picks in the NFL and were solid contributors to both NFL teams that they went to. And so I think that played a lot into it. It just, Banker could just never put the whole picture together, and he just never had any real solid consistency. And I think that was the thing that kind of finally killed him.
Yeah, king size.
Whoa, what's
great.
That? I don't know where that came from. Sorry,
it came from
that.
You, Travis.
It did.
It did. But Banker just could never put the whole picture together. But I like where Nebraska's gone with Diaco. I think from a recruiting standpoint, you look over the last couple of years, bringing in high-energy guys, guys with a proven track record, Perella, Diaco. I think it's going to make a difference. I'm excited to see how they do on defense. I know they didn't show any of that 3-4 during the spring game this year. I'm not sure that makes a big – I'm not sure that's a big issue. Diaco himself has even made the point. He goes, you know, everybody talks about it. It's a 3-4. It's a 3-4. It's a 3-4. This is going to be so new and different. That said, Diaco himself has said, hey, listen, you know, 30-40% of the time, you're going to see 4 down linemen on the field. So I don't think this is going to be this complete sea change over what we've seen the previous 20-some years since Charlie McBride was down in Lincoln. So since Nebraska went to a 4-3, basically, which was essentially kind of in between the 91 and 92 seasons. So I don't know if it's going to be this drastic change as much as people think it is, but I think Diaco's somebody who is very adept at running a 3-4. I think he's somebody who's very adept at running a 4-3. I think he can switch between the two, and I think he fully intends to switch between the two literally play to play on a situational basis.
Damn, this infusion beer is smooth, isn't it?
That's a very that Olson's Amber Ale goes down insanely easy.
And if you want to try the Olson's Amber Ale, you can go to the Infusion Brewing Company in Benson or the Tap Room on 118th Street, or you can join us at Scareway Cancer's Boo Brew 4, which is coming up on July 13th from 4:00 to 7:00. The Chicago Doghouse is going to be on location. Kelly Keegan's going to be serving his
nice,
wonderful hot dogs. But it's from 4:00 to 7, 3 hours to drink beer, fight cancer. $10 for your first glass, includes a collectible pint glass, $5 refills. What are you waiting for? We want you at Boo Brew 4, sponsored by or brought to you by Scareaway Cancer. For more information, go to scarewaycancer.org. And don't forget the Remington Trophy, the proud sponsor of the Husker Doc Talk podcast. The Remington Trophy presentation coming up July 13th, 2018.
January
13th. And if you want to see the...
July 13th is Boo Brew.
Did I say July?
You said July.
Shit, I'm drunk already. God.
Come on, dude. I'm catching your mistakes.
I know.
Drink twice as much
damn
as
it.
You have.
But also check out the Husker Remington Trophy Spring Watch List at Remington Trophy. Nebraska.com.
Dylan Utter, probably not on
the list. But I will tell you that a lot of people have been talking about the Keyshawn Johnson Jr. situation. And Keyshawn Johnson Sr. has won a lot of praises for his reaction. He's been on ESPN. He's talked about it. I'm going to ask you a serious question. Husker fans are going to hate the hell out of me for this question. Do you think Keyshawn Johnson Jr. ever plays at Nebraska?
I think he does.
Really? Because I don't.
You don't think he will?
I think he goes back home, does whatever he does, says, you know what? I think it's just time for me to have a clean split and go somewhere else. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm a cynic. And you know I'm a cynic by nature.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think he'll be back because I think there's a long-standing relationship
with Senior and Riley.
Between Senior and Riley. Yeah. And I think that's going to probably keep him here. I truly do think it's a good situation for him here in Lincoln. I think there's a lot of distractions back in California. And I think he does well staying in Lincoln. I just do. I
hope you're right.
That's it. I mean, I don't have much reason. I don't have a lot of reasoning behind it other than that. Then the relationship that Riley has with Keyshawn Sr. I feel weird saying that the guy's younger than I am. but it's. I think they've got such a good relationship, I think, from a supervision standpoint. And the fact that from a, hey, Keyshawn Sr. talking to Riley, and they've kind of had this, hey, let's just do we're going to kind of get Junior out of the picture for a little bit, kind of get our shit together, and then we'll have him back there. I think the fact that Riley's like, hey, that's perfectly fine. We're completely agreeable to that. I think he comes back.
Okay. I will say this. Keyshawn Johnson Sr. has impressed me with the way he's handled this. He's been a dad through and through. I think it's been.
I think some of it's a little bit overblown.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
Oh, too much media coverage of it.
Okay. That's fair. It's almost a marketing ploy. I see it.
A little bit. I think.
But this is Nebraska. I mean, there's football stories every single day in the World Herald and everything.
And it's Keyshawn, who, you know, he played for the Jets when I was with the Giants, and the guy lives in the spotlight. I mean, some people just do, and I think he's a guy, he's a family that they just do. So a story like this comes out, it's gonna stay in the spotlight. So I will say this, I will be interested to see what happens long term, but I do think he's back in Lincoln.
The Vegas odds have come out, and Nebraska is at a 7 for the over-under of wins and losses for the 2017 season. I'm actually kind of surprised by that, and I think it's going to be a better season. I would, if I was a betting man, I'd bet the over right now. And let's just go through the schedule real quick. They're going to beat Arkansas State.
Probably.
They're going to win at Oregon.
Bill Callahan struggled with Maine. Keep that
shut
in mind.
Up. They're going. You want the beer? You're reaching for it.
I'm trying to reach for the damn growler here, and I can't reach it.
So we are drinking a beer.
That's the Olsen's Amber Ale from Infusion Brewing Company. They beat Arkansas State. They win at Oregon. Yes, they win at Oregon.
If you look at a team that's had more changes over the last year than Nebraska, it's Oregon.
They win at home against Northern Illinois. They win at home against Rutgers. They win at Illinois. They get Wisconsin at home. They win that. They win that. I'm telling you now.
That's a tough one.
It's at home.
They're a machine.
They lose at home to Ohio State.
Yes, I agree.
They win at Purdue.
I'll give you that.
They win at home against Northwestern. They win at Minnesota. They lose at Penn State.
Minnesota.
Yes, bullshit.
I don't know, dude.
Who's the Husker fan here?
Me.
I'm telling you. They win at Minnesota. They lose at Penn State. And they beat Iowa.
What's Nebraska's record against Iowa over the last 4 years?
Was it 2-2? Or is it 1-3?
It's 1-3.
I should know that. Every Iowa
you
fan
should know that.
I should know that.
Nebraska's 1-3 against Iowa the last 4 years.
Iowa's down. They got a quarterback that's unproven. They have no receivers. I mean, absolutely no receivers. The running back core will be good. You know the offensive line is going to be good. But I'm not convinced.
What killed Nebraska against Iowa the last 4 years?
The running game.
O-line play and running game. That's it. Iowa has a hiccup in their O-line.
I have Nebraska 10 freaking wins.
I'm going to say 8-9.
Did you hear that, Husker fan? Travis Justice has Nebraska at 10 wins. 10.
I'm saying 8-9.
It's not that tough of a schedule.
But, you know, you make a good point because if you look at most preseason predictions, you look at most publications, most people have Nebraska 6 or 7 wins on the season.
I don't get that.
I think collegefootballnews.com has Nebraska finishing 9th in the Big Ten.
It's not going to happen.
Their Big Ten rankings have Nebraska in 9th.
Nebraska wins the West.
Because most prognosticators are putting Nebraska 3rd or 4th in the West.
You know what? Most prognosticators had Iowa winning the West last year. They only go on the year before. Prognosticators don't think outside the box. All they do is go, well, it's like Iowa. Iowa had the 12-0 season, so Iowa is going to win the next year. It doesn't work that way.
Well, and there's a lot of intangibles, and I think Nebraska has been, over the last few years, Pelini and Riley. Nebraska has owned the intangibles. Who would have thought Nebraska was going to knock off Michigan State? Who thought Nebraska was going to beat UCLA in the bowl game in Riley's first season? Last year, getting 9 wins. There's a couple of games where Nebraska won off of nothing other than just pure gut check.
I'm just saying the schedule sets up for 9-10 wins. I think it's going to be 10 because I think they beat Wisconsin at home, and I think they beat Iowa at home. They win at Minnesota. Don't buy that PJ Fleck row the boat bullshit.
No, honestly, I don't. I just think Wisconsin is a better team than what people are giving them credit
for.
Okay,
but you get them. Okay, but you're coming off. You're going to be.
And I think Iowa has some intangibles of their own. I think Iowa also has.
But if you're 5-0 coming off a road win in Illinois at home, you're on fire, my friend, and you're going to win that game on pure emotion.
Against
Wisconsin. Absolutely. You lose at home to Ohio State, but you're 5-0.
I'll give you that.
Okay. You win at Purdue. You see what Purdue's doing now to get fans to go? Alcohol. Serve. You know what? This is.
Have they fired their coach yet?
Yeah, they did it last year. They got a new coach. This is Purdue.
That means that we are drinking a beer. Drink a beer, everybody.
Yes. So they're going to start serving alcohol. Yes. So they're going to start serving alcohol. I'm just saying. I've got Nebraska at 10 wins. You have them at 8 or 9. That's fine. I have them at 10.
I mean, we're close.
Yeah,
we are close. I'm not saying.
But that's the difference.
I'm not saying it's going to be like a 6-win season.
But 10 could be the difference between getting to the West champion, to getting to the Big Ten championship, and not getting there.
I agree with that. I just, I'm looking at. I know you said Iowa's lost a lot. Bethard's gone.
They have no receivers. None.
They didn't have shit for receivers.
Yeah,
the last
but they,
3 years.
He's kicked everybody off, or they've left. All they've got are good possession guys. That's it.
They didn't throw to anybody anyway.
They don't have.
Okay, 2015 in Lincoln, they beat Nebraska on 2 plays. They had 2 touchdown runs. And it was because Nathan Jerry was out of the game at the time because of a bullshit call by the referee.
Don't hit somebody in the head with your helmet.
He didn't. That's a bad thing. He didn't even hit the guy with his helmet.
Here's what we've established.
It was like the tip of his shoulder.
What we've established.
Nebraska beat Iowa in 2015 for no reason other than the fact that Iowa had 2 well-blocked running plays the entire freaking game, and that was the only reason Iowa won the damn game. Nebraska spent the rest of the day marching up and down the field. I shouldn't say that. Tommy Armstrong handed the ball to Iowa's defense, 11 times that day.
This isn't an Iowa-Nebraska thing. I'm telling you, Nebraska winning 10 games this year. And yes, that includes a win over Iowa.
I think you're underselling Iowa there.
I probably am.
Tri-City native.
It's Tri-Center, and I grew up in Minden.
Who cares? It's Jesus. Iowa. Nobody cares about
Rob's
that
an angry
state.
Drunk, everybody. He's slurring.
Dude, even Nebraska.
I'm getting sharper as I drink.
Even Nebraska thinks of Iowa as flyover country.
Yeah, well, as Brian Ferentz pointed out, the pipeline runs through Iowa.
Sure. Whatever, Brian.
I think he meant, where I think people took that out of context is that he was talking about a pipeline to the NFL for offensive linemen.
I agree. I get that, but
but it hit close to home, didn't it? Screw that. We're the pipeline.
Dad needs to get the switch out and tell his kid to settle down. A little Adrian Peterson reference for you there.
All right, well, real quickly, summer workouts going on. How I won't forget 94, 95, 96, even 97 through the 99 season. Everybody talked about. And again, yes, I'm living in the past. How important summer workouts are, but you throw
in
the
workouts in general.
You throw in the Friday Night Lights deal. It's been a good summer. I mean, they're in on a lot of guys. I think there's just that's why I go back to the house divided thing. I don't think yes, you're always going to have fans that if you're not winning national titles, it's never good enough. But for the most part, this is the most excitement I've seen around Nebraska football for a long time. The most, the best recruits coming in.
I think
and I hate recruiting.
People are excited about two things: recruiting and Banker's gone.
Yes,
I think those are the two big things that has everybody fired up. I do wish the offensive line. I wish they would go find the weight room. Follow Tanner Farmer. Go to the weight room.
Hey, don't forget Boo Brew 4 from Scareaway Cancer is coming up on July 13th at the Infusion Brewing Company Tap Room on 6271 South 118th Street. $10 gets you your first glass, includes a collectible pint glass, $5 refills. Proceeds go to Scareaway Cancer, which helps patients, families, and programs that are the people are fighting cancer, they're dealing with cancer, or they help cancer patients out. And of course, Scareaway Cancer is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that gives the money directly to the programs, patients, and families. So if you can make it from 4 o'clock to 7, that'd be great. We're going to be serving 4 beers: the Radial IPA, the Infusion Helles, the Olson's Amber Ale, and the Vanilla Bean Blonde will be one of them. I want to thank Husker Hounds for getting on for another year. Scotty, you're a good man. Rob and I will be out to the store. We'll record one or two podcasts out there for you. And, of course, Dave Remington and the Remington Trophy. It's such a great we can't tell you of all the events, and Rob and I go to a lot of events each and every year. The Remington Trophy is one of my favorite events to go to.
If you are a pure football person, it is an absolute, I say this every year, it's an absolute who's who of college and NFL football. The guys that Dave brings back every season, it's always a different lineup. It's awesome. I mean, I've met so many great, guys that were legends to me when I was a kid even.
And I know Dave's coming back for the Remington Trophy or the Remington football camp that's going to be out at Millard South. Maybe you and I, we won't do a podcast. We're going to say that for the first week of August, but we'll get together and do a little interview and we can play that.
We should.
Yes, because Dave, again, loves this podcast, been a big supporter of the podcast, and we can't thank him enough. So here's the deal. Rob and I are going to be back in studio starting the first week of August, okay?
Pseudo-weekly until then. Pseudo-weekly.
So I don't think we're going to do another one till then, unless you miss me that much.
Lazy.
Okay, I can do another one.
We'll do a mid-July.
Okay, we'll do a mid-July. Maybe we'll just do one with Dave then. Dave, time to come to the house. Dave, we'll go to Shucks for lunch.
We could do a post-Shucks podcast.
You guys should see all of us eat at
Shucks. There'd be some serious slurring after that one.
Oh, my God. And Dave and the crew can put down some serious food at Shucks. And you and I have been a part of that. We're big eaters. But watch it, Dave, Felici, all those guys put down food. Holy moly. Don't forget to, and we enjoyed the infusion beer today. We paid for it, by the way.
We enjoyed it.
It's got some alcohol content. For Dr. Rob Zadiska, I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for listening to the summer edition of the Husker Doc Talk podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Doc Talk Sports, and be sure to share this podcast with your friends. We'll talk to you next time.